You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Fire Escape. I'd like you to turn to Genesis chapter 6 with me. And before we talk about a fire, I'd like to talk to you about a flood. Genesis 6, 1, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and the daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward. When the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. You say, well, has anything changed? And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, nothing has changed. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So, wickedness, but ultimately violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, and all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now you say, well, did he destroy the earth? I do not believe that the earth looked the same before the flood as it did after. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. And he gave him the dimensions, verse 17, and behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die. So if you're not in the boat, you're not going to make it. Now this is a picture of salvation. And I'm going to refer to this in the end as we go through this. If you're not on the boat, you're not going to make it. Amen. You say, well, what's the boat? What is the ark? The picture of that in the New Testament is Jesus. If you're not on the boat, if you don't have him within you, you're not going to make it. Now, I understand a lot of people say, well, nobody believes that anymore. Everybody's going to believe that one day. Because the scripture says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So I get you don't believe it now, but I promise you. In this case, it was water, it was a flood, it was rain. In the next case, it will not be water, it will be fire. And you will believe, but it will be too late if you don't do something about it before that day. Verse 17, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which the breath of life, everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing and all flesh, you shall bring two of every kind into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. And so he says, two of everything, and he's going to preserve. And this is very fascinating to me. He keeps eight people and the animals. Genesis chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, Come into the ark, and you and your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal. So he's going to have animals for sacrifice once they land. Verse 4, After 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded. Verse 5, Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. and took all these animals. Then down in verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, so exactly on a given day, here it comes. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. So whatever's under the ground, the fountains of the deep, and we know, you can look at, ask any geologist, anybody, the aquifers that are under the ground, we have massive rivers and reservoirs. But all of those, the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So all these animals, Noah's on the boat, God closes the door, and they're saved. Genesis chapter 9. Then God spoke to Noah and to his sons with him, saying, "And as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, and all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you." So he literally says, and I'm not just promising, it's a covenant. "Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." So I can guarantee you this, the earth will not be destroyed by water. That is not going to happen, because God would have to break a covenant in order for that to happen. You say, well, the oceans are melting and all these things. I promise you, the oceans may rise. They will not destroy the world. That's a covenant. "And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." And literally God says he's looking at the rainbows and remembers, I'm not doing that again. Matthew 24. So the world destroyed by a flood, and if you weren't on the boat, you didn't make it. Matthew 24, verse 1, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be?" So when is that going to happen? "And when will the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you." So the first thing he warns them, he said, how will we know when the end of the age is, when the sign of your coming? And Jesus says to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ." If you hear anybody saying and claiming to be the Christ, I can assure you they are not the Christ, because when he comes, I'll read you in a minute, you'll know it's him. "I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled." Okay, you say, well, there's wars and rumors of wars, people claiming to be the Messiah. "Do not be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake." Now, you say, well, when is that? When Christians are hated by all nations for his name's sake, now you know something's going on. And that day is fast approaching. So you say, well, you sound like you're being a little intense. Let me tell you something about this. Starting with Noah, you're either on the boat, you're not on the boat. You better be sure you got a boat and you're on it, because it will be too late when it's too late. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many." And look at verse 12. "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Now look at verse 14. Why do you think Christians are so evangelistic, so missionary oriented? "I went out of here. It's not that I don't like the place, but I got to tell you, if you think this place is amazing, this is just a temporary deal that God made. What in the world will heaven look like? So how do we get to go home? Look what he says. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. How do we know when we're out of here? When we reach everybody. Get the gospel out. For the sake of time, go down to verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So some people come along and go, I'm the Christ. You go, well, maybe that guy is. It's not. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms, do not believe it. So how will you know it's him? Verse 27. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. It will be like lightning striking. You'll say, that's him. No misunderstanding, no question. When Christ comes, you'll know it's him. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And if you think a flood's bad, this is going to be a terrible day. Look at what he describes. The tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away till all these things take place. And people have questions, well, so why does it say this generation? It is referring to the generation that it happens to, not the generation it was written to. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Now, you may not have noticed what it says here, and we're going to read some more about this in a second, verse 35. Heaven and earth will pass away. So what does that mean? Everything you see and everything you look up in the sky and see and everything any telescope has ever discovered is going to be gone, pass away. Everything tangible, real, this earth, this creation will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then look at verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So he says there's a parallel. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, you say, well, how can a man build an ark for 100 years and nobody think or know or suspect that something's coming? People don't believe. And if they had repented, it's not like God says, well, too late. You should have gotten in before he started building the boat. No one repented. Apparently, no one repented. And we live in a world, and you're trying to live the Christian life if you're a Christian. And if you've got questions, you're trying to figure out, how do I become a Christian? Do I want to be a Christian? I'm just going to insert this here. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart, because you may never hear that voice again. And I'm not screaming this. I'm going to say this as quietly and as gently as I possibly can. Many people, and you may be one, are not going to make it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. You say, well, why is that? Because you can hear the gospel your whole life. You can see creation out of Romans 1. You're without excuse. And you say, well, I just don't get it. I don't believe it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I get that. You have the right to do that. But you also have the right, or I would encourage you to at least listen to the possibility of judgment, of a day coming when you're going to go, wow, why didn't I listen? Because that day will come if you don't listen. You say, well, it's too intense. You need to tell us nice things and encourage us. I'm encouraging you. If you say that you care about people, you love people, you have to warn them. And we have to live lives where they'd say, you look like you've got an answer for the questions. Life and death, life, what's going on with me? Can you help me? Yeah, I can help you. The whole world's going a different direction. That's okay. You can go this direction. As the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah, In the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. Marrying and giving in marriage, there's nothing wrong with that. Until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, they were completely taken off guard, just living life like there was no tomorrow. And sooner or later, that's going to be true. There is going to be no tomorrow because your life will be over. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. If I got a text that some people are going to break into my house tonight at 2 a.m, I would have me some buddies and maybe some firearms. And I'd kick back in some chairs and be watching my doors. How y'all doing? Right? Can I help you? You don't get broken into and surprised if you know they're coming. You say, well, I don't know when he's coming. But you know he's coming. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master's delaying his coming, that's going to be a while, he's not coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is what you don't hear much in the world today. I think pastors are so desperate to draw a crowd and raise some money and pay for the debt and whatever they got that they won't tell you the truth. You got to warn people. And the scripture is filled with warning because this day is coming. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying. So scoffers walking according to their own lust, and what do they say? Well, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Nothing's changed. Where's your Jesus? For this they willfully forget. So, and you say, well, they're claiming nothing has changed from creation. Clearly, some things have changed. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So they say, well, nothing's changed. You can't have but so many shots over the bow before the bow gets hit and you go, they're not kidding. Verse 8, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So why the delay? If heaven is so great, and it is, and it cost Jesus his life to get me there, why am I still down here in this mess? Get me out of here. Why doesn't he just end it? There's your answer. Long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens, now you got to slow down and read this, but look at just one verse. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Now, what does that mean? So far, I think the number is they've come up, there's 2 trillion galaxies, known galaxies. Now, I can't get my head around those existing, much less a cataclysmic event, a universal event where the heavens burn up, a loud noise, fervent heat, and it's gone. That's the kind of God you're dealing with. He not only holds it all together by the word, He made it by his word, but it's all going to be gone. So destroying the earth with a flood, nothing compared to this. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. And then look at this next phrase, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scripture. Ever see that happen? Well, I don't like that verse. I'm going to make it say this. I can think of people that were preaching the gospel, impacting the world, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they decide universalism. Everybody's going to make it. Don't like the sound of this. It's unpopular. So now it's not just Jesus. We're all going to make it. It's all going to be okay in the end. Everybody loves that. It's just not true. Untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scriptures. And I've heard people try to make this book say things it never intended to say. You think, well, where are you getting that? It's not in there. It's in there if you need it to be in there to justify some sin. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now, if you go read Genesis 1:1, what does it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Just like that. Speaks, boom, there it is. And just like that, he'll destroy all of it.
We'll get back to Richard in a moment to close out today's talk. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to take the planet. So it's our prayer that these daily talks from Richard aren't something you only hear and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's such a priority to us. So join us in this important mission. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD to say you're in. Or you can get on board with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. Well, here's Richard with some closing thoughts for us.
Look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, verse 1, and this simple little phrase, now I saw, what? A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. So what does that mean? The first heaven and the earth, first earth, gone, and new heavens, new earth. He's remade it all. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. There is only one fire escape out of this place, and it's Jesus. This whole planet has the scars of a flood, a warning. He can take it down, leave only 8 people. And there is a fire, fervent heat, destruction coming. There is a real hell, and you will end up in a real hell or a real heaven. And what's described in Revelation 21, who would not want to be there? You say, well, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. There's a quote, and I didn't write it down, by C.S. Lewis, and something to this effect, that right now we should be praying, thy will be done. But once you're dead and the judgment comes, then God says to you, thy will be done. What you wanted is now going to be done. You rejected me. You wouldn't repent. You wouldn't change your mind. You thought you could save yourself being nice or being wicked or whatever you were being. You say, well, I don't have to listen to this. You're exactly right. You don't have to listen to this. But I encourage you to think about it. Because if you feel anything, you think anything, anything stirs, and you can't explain that, that is the Holy Spirit of an almighty God speaking to your heart, speaking to your mind, drawing you to himself, trying to encourage you to say yes, yes, yes. And you're not just stumbling around in some jungle. You're lost. And the sooner you admit that and say yes, the sooner he can come into your life and give you not just a new life, an abundant life, but an eternal life between now and heaven.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.